I've come to the conclusion, and you know, having been through what I have with Body Shop and having had been sold out to L'Oreal, which was, you know, pretty tough, Anita was never cynical. Never. To the day she died, she was still going out there, and she's been fighting for people in jails in New York. You know, she never ever stopped. And I think if whatever we do, however little, I think for me that's what it's about. It's I don't, you know, hopefully one day we will change what's going on a global level. Who knows? I think human beings are incredibly clever. We can create, and our technology is extraordinary, and I'm sure we will find a way to continue. When I was little, I always used to think we'd destroy the planet and we'd destroy ourselves. I don't believe that anymore, actually, because I think we are incredibly clever, and I don't think having that negative attitude actually will get us anywhere. I think we have to have absolute self-belief that we can change the world and we can make it a better place. But I think it's about small steps, it's about small things, and it's about this. Nothing ever has, and I wish I'd remembered the rest of that quote, because actually, that is all that's ever changed. You know, if you think about the Berlin Wall, that didn't come down because one man got his hammer and chisel out and spent the next 20 years knocking it down. It came down because a whole bunch of people said, enough, this thing is coming down. So I think it is about people working together.
And I think the world is changing, actually. I think we're at an extraordinary point where there's more being challenged and questioned, and new ideas coming through. And some of you will have come across the concept of transition. Mm. Yes. And Rob Hopkins once articulated it very well, I think, and he said, essentially, it's not about complaining about all the bad things that are going on, or about blowing it up, no matter how frustrated we get. It's actually about building what he referred to as an alternative architecture. So the work that the Cornwall 100 Club might be doing, or the big guys now, like the Body Club when Anita was around, are doing. Well, lots and lots of small, and I absolutely agree with that. Just do it. Just do something. Do the thing that you can do. In fact, it was a Tory MP, Douglas Hurd, who very impressed me many years ago when he was talking about foreign policy. He said, just because we can't fix it all does not mean we can't do this bit here. And I thought, good on you, fella. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Tory voter, but you're talking common sense here. Mm-hmm. So that's the stuff that starts. But I think there's an extraordinary amount of challenge and new ideas and new thinking going on. That alternative architecture is being built. It's a bloody process in some areas, but it's happening now.
And I think what is critical to this particular moment in history is that what is being challenged is our economic structures. Yeah. And I think actually Lehman Brothers going down, for whatever reason it happened, was probably the best thing that ever happened. Because in a way it started to reveal what's really going on. And how we do need to find a new economic structure to enable us to continue as a race. And I think, because as an environmentalist, I remember for many, many years, and we tried to do it in Body Shop, it's, you know, this triple bottom line. How do you place an economic value on the environment and society? Because, look, you know, Britain is one of the unhappiest societies in Europe right now. What is that about? You know, at the end of the day, if we can't measure the success of our happiness and the impact on our environment and make that an economic value, if we only value things in terms of pounds, shillings and pence, we're stuffed. So actually, and I think that's what's changing now as opposed to the past, is the economic value is starting to be measured for the other things too, the society and environment.
Am I right in thinking that governments actually ask for a well-being measure?
Well-being
trying,
index.
They keep
referring it to it, or at least the press have, as a happiness index, which is a bit of a clunky, simplistic way of referring to it, because it's not about happiness actually, it's about well-being. Mm-hmm. And well-being, I mean, this will resonate with all of you who are running your own businesses. Well-being is to do with purpose and having power over your own circumstances and being able to make your own decisions. Being able to deal with really bad times and unhappy times, but having the resources to do that.
Is that how they're defining it as well? Is that how the government is defining it?
Well, the Office of National Statistics are doing some work on well-being, and there's a lot of thinking behind the concept of well-being, and it is about purpose and part of a system, actually, and being able to deliver a job well and knowing that you're having a positive benefit and knowing that you're well-connected and knowing that you're well-supported and having the resources, the physical and the social and the psychological and wider resources to deal with good days and bad days, which is much more than just happiness. So all that thinking is behind it. It's just been translated as the happiness index. So it's just a bit of a clunky shorthand way, but they are looking at that now. And Cameron, like he has with many other things, thinks he's discovered it, bless him.
Was it the Burmese government that did it?
There's a very small island that's been looking at this for quite some time, and they have a happiness index that goes along. They do refer to it as a happiness index, alongside their economic. I mean, there's lots of questions about GDP as a metric of success.
It was an alternative to GDP.
Yes, and that is definitely coming forward now, and there's lots of questioning around GDP as a measure of. I mean, that's just how much we spend on stuff, really. Which, God help us if we think that's
a great measurement, isn't it?
Yes. And interestingly, there was something from the Children's Society that came out in the last week, and kids were asked their five top things that were most important to them, which we've been interested in some of the work that they're doing, actually. And the five within those five top things, one of them was a thing. It was a kid. It's probably something that you plug in. That was one of them. But it wasn't the top one, and there were two other things that were top, and they were spending time outside and spending time with my family. Ideally, the two together, and you think, thank God. Somehow, in the bottom of all this plethora of gubbins that you've got to buy that's black and shiny and plug-in and flashy screeny, kids still understand what it is that makes them well and happy. Mm. And it's about spending time outside with the people that are important to you. So it is about community, and it is about the natural environment, and that's everything happens within that context.